me tonight and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. We'll open up chapter 14 this evening by looking at the first seven verses, going through the book of Acts a chapter at a time and a verse at a time. Tonight we're with Paul and Barnabas at Iconium. If you're able to stand, join me in standing for a reading from the Word of the Lord. I'll be reading from the King James Version this evening. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part held with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel." This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We wonder what the program should be. We wonder what we should do and how we would do church and what new fad is going on. Really, what the book of Acts says so simply over and over again is to preach the word in season and out of season, and exciting things will happen. Some dangerous, some glorious, some sad, some happy, but leaving believers the number increase so that today the largest faith group in the world is the Christian faith. Thank you for that blessing, Lord. And so the story of Acts is still being written today around the world and in our own city of Branson. Pray that you'll bless as we spend some time with Paul and Barnabas in Iconium, the things that they encountered there. Give that some thought this evening. Bless us, make us a bolder witness, steady witness, consistent witness, and just watch what you do all around us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, throughout the book of Acts, what you're seeing is multiple times, time after time after time, are faithful witnesses who are going to go out and tell the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. People really do need the Lord, and so they were going to introduce them to the Lord by proclaiming the good news and the gospel of Christ to them. The Luke had written early on in the book of Acts that after we receive the Holy Spirit, he says in chapter 1, verse 8, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." Every one of us is called to be a witness of the good news of Jesus Christ. This isn't a chore solely designed for the pastor or for our Sunday school teachers or for deacons or other leadership in the church. It's for all of us. We're all witnesses. We're all to be busy sharing the good news of Christ. You say, "I've never been trained to be a witness." And we could certainly offer evangelism training here at the church and may do that in a coming day. But you literally, what you need in order to be a witness is the Holy Spirit. And if you have the Holy Spirit within you, He will help you know what to say and when to say it and how to say it. You say, "Well, I've never been trained. I never went to Bible college. I never went to seminary. I don't have a PhD. How do you expect me to do that?" I go back to the the blind man who Jesus healed, and his sight was restored to him, and he was captured and brought before the religious leaders of the day. And how is it that you can see? And there was a man who spoke to me, touched me, and now I was blind, but now I see. Well, who was this man? And he says his name was Jesus. And they said, well, how did he do it? He says, I don't know that I can tell you how I did it, how he did it. All I know was I was blind and now I see. And what a glorious, simple testimony that is. Every one of us have a story. You should have a gospel testimony. As Sunday school teachers tonight, we wrote just something about our own faith, our own salvation tonight. Went around the room. There were close to 15, 20 of us in there. And everyone gave a little sentence about how they came to Christ or what it means to have come to Christ. Like the blind man, let's be faithful in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. When he says you shall receive power in Acts 1:8, that literally is the word we get dynamite from. And you don't want to waste a good stick of dynamite, right? And use it for the good of others and for the glory of God. When you share the good news of Christ. There's a lot of people in the entertainment industry that may talk about the Lord, but if they ever start talking about Jesus, that's when they get into hot water and it may be a career ender. But there's many more and more coming out and saying, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. More and more athletes saying, the Lord Jesus is helping me do what I'm doing out here on this football field or out here on this baseball field. You have a chance to be a witness for Christ. And if you learn anything from Paul and Barnabas in Antioch of Pisidia, or Paul and Barnabas in Iconium, or in Derbe or Lystra, or any other place, they were just witnesses for Christ. They had multiple problems. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have problems. They had multiple problems, but they had Christ and they had his joy. And literally, when you're watching them in this text, you're watching Christ in them, the hope of glory. Paul would later write, for me to live is Christ. When you're watching them, you're watching the Holy Spirit in action. When you're watching them, you're watching God the Father work through them for the sake of the kingdom. And so that a saved soul is a witnessing machine, a witnessing miracle, a story to tell to the nations. Paul and Barnabas would return to the original home church, the new mother church in Antioch. They would return bruised. They would return bleeding. They might even return limping, a little bit battered, a little bit beat up. But they would return with joy and a great story for the watching world to hear. I want you to notice with me their method. I want you to notice for just a moment the miracles that are noted in the text. And I want you to notice beyond their methods and beyond the miracles, I want you to notice the message that they gave. First, the methods that they used. It's in 1, it's in 3, it's in 7. In 1, what does it say? It says, they so spake. In 3, it says, they spoke boldly in the Lord. And in 7, it says, they preached the gospel. It's all a way of saying the same thing in a little bit different way. They spoke the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with as much boldness as they could muster before a watching world. They didn't stutter. They didn't stammer. You didn't have to read between the lines. You didn't have to wonder, what is that guy possibly talking about? They spoke very clearly. They spoke very plainly. They made a long trip into Iconium, located some 50 miles to the east of where they were previously located. As was their manner, they went into the synagogue in verse 1 of the Jews, and they so spake there. Gathered with them was a multitude of Jews and of Greeks, listening to them from these different backgrounds. You say, is it a one-size-fit-all with the gospel. Yes, it is. Jesus Christ for slave or free. Jesus Christ for north, south, east, west. Jesus Christ for educated, uneducated. Any color, any creed, any background, any nation. The same gospel is good for every one of them. Their method was they simply preached. And many would believe, and hostility would break out, and miracles flushed into public purview in this particular case. But things happen when you preach. There are people that are either going to be mad, or they're sad or glad, but something's going to happen when you stand in this desk and you proclaim the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Spurgeon would say, try not to defend the word, just let the lion out of the cage and watch the results. When the lion marches into the room, lives will be changed, souls will be saved, marriages will be healed, the saints will be built up in their holy faith. Watch what happens when that is your format. Sometimes I think the modern church has lost its confidence in preaching. Lost its confidence in Wednesday night prayer meeting, lost its confidence in gathering small groups together to study the Word, lost its confidence in not emphasizing private worship, lost its confidence in memorizing Scripture, lost its confidence in so many things. And go to this program, that program, and any other program, just preach the Word. That was their method that Paul and Barnabas used, and the world would never be the same. How about those apples? The world would be changed forever. God would do a deep work in every heart. Reformer Martin Luther said, "The soul can do without all things except the Word of God. For there is no help for the soul in anything else whatsoever. But if the soul has the Word, it is rich and lacks nothing. Since this word is the word of life, word of truth, of light, of peace, of righteousness, of salvation, of joy, of liberty, of wisdom, of power, of grace, of glory, and of every blessing beyond our power to estimate." The Word is so rich. The formal principle of the Reformation was sola scriptura, Scripture alone. And everything revolved around that. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. The method of Paul and Barnabas can simply be summed up. They preached boldly Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, and watched what God would do as they were faithful in using that method. Next thing I want you to notice is, beyond the method, is the miracles in verse 3. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace. And they were granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. We're not told what those signs and wonders were. Apparently, under the inspiration of the Spirit, it wasn't necessary for us to know the nature of those signs and wonders. When they would go into these new areas, signs and wonders are used throughout Scripture for a particular purpose. You'll notice that they went in some cities, no signs and wonders. Some cities, yes, there were signs and wonders. Later in their ministry, no signs and wonders so much. Epaphroditus almost died with Paul. Paul didn't quite know what to do with him, but sent him back to Philippi and said, "You got to take care of this guy. He's about to die on my watch, and I don't want him to die on my watch." So you see these signs and wonders not being consistent. They were typically used, if the prophets were writing, you would sum up Scripture like this: Old Testament given to us by prophets. New Testament given to us by apostles. That is as simple as it can be stated in an economy of words. When there was a season of Scripture being written, ink on the page, pen in the hand, Spirit is active, you would often see the prophets in the Old Testament experiencing, manifesting miracles as the word was being given. Those miracles would authenticate, they would galvanize those prophets as these are the real deal. These are the messengers of God. They are the messengers of God, and their message is the message of God. God would use those miracles in a great way. He would do that in Jesus' own life. Jesus would often say, if you don't believe me for the sake of what I'm saying, believe me for the sake of the work's sake, the miracles that I'm doing. We're told actually in the Gospel of John, so many vast miracles that he did and words that he said are not contained in Scripture. There's a complete untold story, not necessary for us to know, or we would have been told. But John said it was so vast, so deep, so wide, that if you were to write everything down that Jesus said and the miracles that he did, the libraries of the world couldn't contain it. But he did a large number of miracles to set himself in as the eternal Son of God. And now you see the apostles and Paul and Barnabas being given that same opportunity. Some would suggest, well, if this is what happened in Iconium, then that is what we should expect today to happen. When in fact, if you want to authenticate someone today as to whether or not they are sent from God, the acid test is, are they preaching the Word of God? You're not looking for signs and miracles. You're looking for the preaching of God's Word today. For all 66, the canon of Scripture has been signed, sealed, delivered. God has spoken to us in these 66 books. He hasn't. We're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. If you say, I want to hear the word, I want to hear God's audible voice, then read the Bible out loud and you will hear God's voice. You will hear Him speaking to you. And the acid test today is the preaching of the Word. I'm not saying that God doesn't do miracles. I'm not going to tie God's hand. There are some that would say complete cessationist. I don't think God is doing miracles. And I would agree, God is not doing miracles like He did then. And cessationist in that sense. But if someone comes to me who is ill, or if someone comes to me with a need, or if someone comes to me regard of their marriage, I'm going to pray and ask God to do a miracle on their behalf. My wife and I don't just believe in miracles, we depend on them. We need them in our marriage, we need them with our children, we need them with our grandchildren, we need them with our church and our ministries that we support. We ask the Lord. But I'm talking about these outward signs. We are not told of any miracles happening in Antioch of Pisidia. Silence on this miracle scene. We're seeing, sometimes you'll see if you actually do a comparison test of the gifts of the Spirit, sometimes you'll see in those early gifts, you'll see miracles being included. And then in those later lists, they're not included. That's not an accident. But God did a great work through the apostles, great work through the apostles. Prophets established them with miracles, established His Son as the eternal Son of God through the means and mechanism of miracles. You say, well, if we're not to seek miracles, what are we to seek? We are to seek Christ. Paul wrote this about the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Grieve not the Spirit, Ephesians 4:30. Walk in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25. Pray in the Spirit, Jude 1:20. Be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. When Bethany was in Argentina, one of the things, and she would write to us about that, was there was a very heavy heavy-handed emphasis on signs and miracles. She said it disturbed me deeply, that people were coming for healing and that people were coming and there was this person and that person saying, there's been a miracle, there's been a miracle, there's been a miracle. She said she literally endured a week of it. She says, I'm here to share the word of God with these saints, and I'm walking away thinking in some ways more damage has been done, more minuses than pluses. It was too heavy-handed. It was to the point of ridiculous. We are not to be deceived by, I think, the hand of Satan can use, his hand can be used to help to urge us to seek miracles. I think many of them are counterfeit miracles today and distract us from our first priority, Christ. And keep your eyes on Christ. When I preached this morning on Psalm 123, he looked up to the Lord. We are to keep our eyes. The writer of Hebrews would say, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Fix your eyes on Christ. When it comes to the second coming, people say, is the Antichrist alive today? What nation, what nationality is he of? Is he alive? What's he going to do? When's he going to step forward? I am not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ. And we need to keep our eyes on him at all times and not be distracted. And I think that an over heavy-handed, unbiblical emphasis on miracles is a distraction and is actually unhealthy. And some ministries, that is their bread and butter, that is their cup of tea, that is their wheelhouse, that is their deal. You come here and we're going to have a revival all week. If you're sick, come, because we're doing healings. That is a distraction to the gospel. Preach the gospel, the good news of Christ. Now, there were, in this case, in verse number 3, miracles that were done, signs and wonders to be done by their hands. We're not told what they were because that's not the main issue. And I think as the messengers of the Lord, they were being in a foreign land, foreign people, they were being firmly ensconced as the messengers of God. Lastly, I want us to think about the message that they gave in verse number 3. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord they spoke. They would go into the Word and they would have access to the Old Testament. You say you can't preach Christ from the Old Testament. Ask Christ what he thinks about that. He would take the Emmaus disciples after his resurrection, and he would, beginning in Genesis and all the way through Malachi, he spoke of himself to them. Christ is all over the Old Testament. They would go in preaching the word boldly in the Lord and bragging on Jesus every step of the way. They did not fear for their life. The experience we're having in the Western world is entirely different than the experience Christians are having around the world, in the rest of the world. There are Christians tonight sitting in jail. There are Christians tonight who are pastors who have been separated from their wife and their children. There are Christians who are in jail tonight, but they don't fear for their life. They think that Christ is more valuable to them than even their very life on earth. And they would, I don't think it's wise to take unnecessary, wildly dangerous risk. You'll see in a moment that Paul and Barnabas fled. They left that area, and there's no cowardice in what they do. Someone who says, I want to be a martyr, make me a martyr, and I think I'm going to give my life for Christ, that is, in a sense, if you do it very cavalierly and carelessly, a form of suicide. There's nothing cowardice about saying, let's do this wisely under the hand of the Lord. In verse number 5, their message was this: and when there was an assault made of Gentiles, made of Jews who were believing, if you came to faith in Christ as a Gentile, if you came to faith in Christ as a Jew, you were assaulted. And along with their rulers, to use them despitefully and even to stone them. And that's not to give them a momentary punishment. That is to take their life. Paul and Barnabas were, there was such an opposition to the word of the Lord that lives were endangered in Iconium. And you're going to find, even in our current age, as people stand and say marriage is a man and a woman, as people stand and say pronouns should be, you know, I, me, my, mine, he, him, her, that there are two genders, and you're going to find a rising resistance to this message. And to say that the Word of God is true and a guide for life is becoming an increasingly unpopular notion in our nation. And if you're working for social services and you have children who need to be placed in foster care and you're unwilling to place them with a same-sex couple, you're going to get the wrath of society down upon your head. There are judges, there are lawyers, there are government employees, there are pastors who have lost their mind. And it's becoming increasingly unpopular just to stay with the basic rudiments, the first principles of the word of the Lord. Their message was they spoke boldly in the Lord. They did not fear for their life. Any Jew or Gentile who believed was physically attacked by stoning, and we're told, and when they became aware of it, they fled unto Lystra and to Derbe. And they spoke, in verse 3, the message, the word of His grace. They spoke of gift received at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E, what Christ accomplished when He was alive, the gift that He offers through Him offering His life, that you don't work your way for salvation. He did the work. Believe in Him. Follow Christ. It came at His expense. Christmas is coming. Gifts are being ordered. Gifts are being bought. You don't ask the gift giver, I'll give this to you if you'll pay for it yourself. You give that at no cost, gladly, because you love that person. They spoke of grace, the free gift of eternal life that is offered through faith in Christ. They preached in verse 7 what's called the gospel. Corinthians says, what is the gospel? He was born of a virgin. He lived, He died. He suffered and died. He was buried. He rose the third day according to Scripture. He was seen of many. Paul wrote to the Corinthians that simple gospel. That's what they preached. We can circle the world looking for schemes and things to say, things to do, new ways to say it, new packaging. Just preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. May be dangerous. Richard Baxter, the old Puritan, would say, I preached as never sure to preach again. I preached as a dying man to dying men. Puritan Thomas Watson said, it is better to have God approve than the world applaud. And Paul and Barnabas knew when to withdraw, and they did withdraw. Their message was they preached the gospel. Spurgeon would say, out of England, a Christless sermon is a worthless sermon. And he would say, give me any text and I will make a beeline to Christ. He said, a Christless sermon, that's like trying to make bread without flour. Flour is the essential ingredient. And if that is lacking, then you have no bread at all. And so they spoke boldly. Were they effective? They were entirely effective. can we be effective as they were effective? Entirely. There is no reason to suspect that if we do what they did, that we'll get any we'll get exactly the same results. Some will hate us. Many will love the Lord Jesus Christ that we proclaim. Let the chips fall where they will, and leave everything in the hands of God. Their message was Christ alone, and that is our message today. For there they preached the gospel. And after they left Iconium, they fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lay round about that area. And so we must never lose confidence in looking like a church, acting like a church, being a church that loves the good news of Jesus Christ, and keeping the message simply Christ-centered, so that you have Christ-centered marriages, Christ-centered lives, a Christ-centered church, everything to be Christ-centered. And you talk about positive results, that would be the most positive results of all. If you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you would do that tonight. And I will offer an invitation for Christ at every service that I'm part of, if I'm given the opportunity to do that, and it is a fitting thing to do, which it generally is. If you need to accept Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, you see, it's a Sunday night. You're preaching to the choir. You never know who's in the building. You never know the condition of one's heart. You never know if someone would say, would you please extend an invitation to receive Christ tonight? And nothing would be better than that before we leave this place. If you need to pray, there were those who came forward to pray this Sunday, pray last Sunday. It's increasingly common that we have people coming to pray in this church for one thing or another. I would say if you need time in prayer by yourself, or if you need someone to pray with you or for you, we would be delighted to do that tonight. Or if you need a church home, say, I live in the area. I've been walking outside of the church. I've been looking for a church. I need a pastor. I need brothers and sisters in Christ. I need a place to serve the Lord. Come home tonight to Friendly. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we have this evening to meet together and to worship you. What a beautiful day you've given us to do exactly that. If there's someone tonight who needs a Savior, I know Christ and would be thrilled to introduce someone to Christ tonight. And someone can come in saying, I don't know anything about the love of God, as you sang. I don't know anything about the deep, deep love of Jesus. They can walk away full of the love of the Lord in their life. May they come if they need a Savior. Some may need prayer tonight. Don't know what's going through their heart, through their mind. Rough and tumble week. Out of joint tonight, and just needing prayer to help them. If someone needs prayer tonight, Lord, seeking your face, may they come for that. If anyone needs a church home tonight, Lord, may they come home to Friendly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.